trying to get over. It's just like we lost a family member.
Surveillance footage shows a state trooper fatally shooting a dog at a North Carolina business. Why the owner says he believes the shooting wasn't justified and the state highway patrol's response. Then,
this is what you see on television. This is not real. And that was the very first thought I had.
We're learning more about the five people that died in a massive house fire in Harnett County.
I'm tracking severe weather threats for multiple counties. What to expect in your town? Plus, the latest track for newly formed Tropical Storm Brett.
Taking a live look at the radar right now, parts of our area could still see storms at this hour after heavy downpours drenched many parts of the triangle. Thank you for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. And that's not all we're keeping our eye on. You heard Mike mention it just a moment ago, but we got our eyes on two systems in the tropics, including in the last 2 hours, Tropical Storm Brett forming in the Atlantic.
We have live team coverage of flight impacts from the Live Center, conditions on the roads from the storm tracker. And first, let's get to meteorologist Mike Mays in the WREL Severe Weather Center.
We certainly have a lot going on tonight, Ashley. We have that round of showers and thunderstorms move in and broke up as we expected. Didn't really make its way to the eastern counties. Live dual Doppler 5000 radar shows what's left is generally some showers for parts of Vance, Franklin, and Warren counties. That's moving up to the north. But we have more thunderstorms off to the west, and these will slowly edge their way in. So despite this breaking down, we're going to see the potential for more showers overnight and perhaps some storms. And up towards southern Virginia, that's where a lot of our rain has moved up to, and the potential for some flooding up there as well. Futurecast shows the line that's upon us now gradually breaking down. That area off to the west, filling back in. That's 9 o'clock tonight, and the model stops at 11 o'clock, and this should gradually ease on in as we go through the overnight hours. Now, the other big story is what's happening in the tropics. Tropical Storm Brett has formed. That's this storm here. Good circulation going on with it. That could likely become Cindy over the coming days. Intensity models actually have that developing over the next couple of days. This is the latest on Brett from our 5 o'clock advisory. Top winds are at 40. It's moving west at 21 miles per hour. It's likely to become Hurricane Brett by early Thursday morning with top winds at 80, moving through the islands and then making its way into the Caribbean, and per one model, perhaps gradually dissipating. That is certainly a potential that we will watch. Too early to tell if it will impact the United States or not. Now, closer to home, we've had quite a bit of rain across the area, and Aaron Thomas is in the WRL Storm Tracker. Aaron, it looks like you're pretty dry right now, but roads are probably still wet.
Yes, thankfully we have entered this period where things have dried off a little bit. I'll show you what we see right now. This is currently Interstate 40 going eastbound. We're currently in Durham. We did receive reports of several trees down in different parts of Durham, just to give you a sense of the intensity of the storm. I do want to show you some video that we captured here in the WRL Storm Tracker from earlier this evening. It comes from Highway 64 over in Chatham County. The conditions were so heavy over there at some points. The visibility was low through our windshield, and it was also hard to see some of the cars in front of us, and we had to slow down, and we had that heavy rainfall that lasted more than an hour, but we've seen different pockets of rain. Durham, Wake County, also Chatham County. Of course, we'll continue to monitor conditions on air and online, but I do want to send things over to Brett Neese, who's in the WRL Live Center, monitoring any airport delays. Brett?
Yeah, we're doing that, and we're looking at road conditions as well here in the WRL Live Center. Aaron, the map here is turned pretty much all green all the way around. That's the good news here at this hour as this rain has moved out. Our live camera, our live picture, it's a very wet afternoon and evening at RDU. Over here on our cancellation board, we're up to 9 cancellations at RDU, 108 delays so far. Far today at RDU. Taking a look at the misery map itself down in Charlotte, they're dealing with a number of delays as well. 68 and 9 canceled flights so far. Continue to keep an eye on these numbers, Ashley.
All right, Brett, thank you. And make sure to have the WRL weather app handy as we track unsettled weather much of the week. It allows you to keep radar at your fingertips, and it's free wherever you download your apps.
A surveillance video here shows the moment a state trooper fatally shot and killed a dog in Northampton County at a business there. It happened Friday night in the town of Rich Square. This is the dog. This is Coco. The business owner says he believes this shooting was not justified, that his dog didn't pose any threat. WRL's Keenan Willard, though, took those families' concerns to the State Highway Patrol, which is standing by the trooper involved.
Rodney Majet owns the R&P car dealership in Rich Square. On Friday night, his sister was at the business with her dog Coco, a one-year-old pit bull. Around 8 p.m., a state trooper pulled up out front, and Majet's sister went out to meet him.
And that, when she opened the door, she just shot past her because she didn't know whether she was going home or whether she was just going outside to play.
Coco took off toward the trooper. The dealership's surveillance camera started rolling just as the dog got to the trooper's car. You can't see the dog on camera, but the video shows the trooper back up several steps into the road before shooting the dog one time, killing it.
From a puppy, he felt threatened, and he just shot him.
Majette says he doesn't understand why the trooper was on the business's property or why he shot the dog. Majette believes the trooper reacted with lethal force too quickly because the dog was a pit bull.
It's just been a rough weekend, that's all. Trying to get over it. That's like we lost a family member.
WREL took the family's concerns to the State Highway Patrol.
There was the belief that the vehicle involved in a hit-and-run investigation was at this location, which we did find that vehicle to be at the location.
Highway Patrol says the trooper was at the business legally to investigate a crime, and the trooper is still on active duty after an internal review found he acted appropriately during the shooting.
A pit bull running at full steam, aggressively charging at the member and barking, the member back, you could see him backtracking in the video to a point where he backtracks onto a side street. He is now on the road and put himself at danger.
The Majette family says they don't know anything about a hit-and-run investigation at the business. They're contacting animal welfare groups to see what action they can take after this incident.
For shooting our dog on our own private property, we're reaching out to anybody and everyone.
Keenan Willard, WREL News, Northampton County.
Investigators say a Johnston County homeowner shot and killed a man trying to break into his house while his children were inside. This unfolded last night on Parker Street in Wilson's Mills. Deputies say they got to the scene after the homeowner, identified as James Keith, shot the man. They say the suspect made contact with Keith's children and attempted to break into the home. Investigators have still not identified the suspect. No charges have been filed.
Tonight, we are learning more about some of the victims of a Father's Day fire in Harnett County that ended tragically. Five people were killed when the mobile home they were in caught fire. WREL's Shelley Jackson spoke with family members this afternoon.
Daniel Garner and his sons were visiting family friends when the fire broke out. Five people died in that fire. And while they are gone, I spoke with family members who say they want their memory to live on.
And she called and she tried telling me. I threw the phone down. I didn't want to believe it. All I understood was that Carson was gone and that there was a fire.
It's too horrific to be something that was real. And then it was.
It's the call no one ever wants to get.
I was in disbelief.
On Saturday, Carson and Caleb Garner spent the night with their dad, Daniel. They planned to spend Father's Day together. But in the early morning hours, a fire broke out at the home where they were staying. Today, the Garner family is leaning on each other, finding comfort in their memories.
People leaned on him. He was just easy to talk to. He was the comfort in our home. And he was an amazing daddy.
Daniel and his fiancée, Amanda Cox, had five kids between them. She is also Caleb's mom.
They both had the biggest hearts and the prettiest smiles that all of us are going to miss.
14-year-old Carson lived with his grandparents for years. His memory is everywhere.
So my house is full of Carson pictures, Carson's bed. So, you know, anywhere I turn around and look at this moment, I have Carson.
Right now, there are more questions than answers.
And then it was, what happened? Did they try to get out? So we're just waiting on answers.
But Daniel also leaves behind other children, Michael and Madison.
My heart breaks for Michael and Madison because they have to grow up without their dad. And to always remember that the day they lost their daddy was Father's Day.
Oh, just such tragic, tragic pain. Oh, my goodness. All right. How to move on from that story. Okay, a wildfire near the coast has burned 16,000 acres and is only about 10% contained. This is video of the fire in Brunswick County. It started as a controlled burn, but quickly spread out of control. the smoke causing super foggy conditions and impacting the air quality. Brunswick County is under a code red alert and Wilmington under a code orange. No one is injured and no buildings are damaged.
A new casino just across the state line in Virginia is bringing in some big money, and a lot of it's coming from North Carolina. Two-thirds of the cars in the parking lot at the Danville Casino today were from the Tar Heel State. Caesars opened the temporary casino inside a tent on May 15th. The Virginia Lottery says Caesars brought in $12 million in gaming revenue in just the first 2 weeks.
$12 million. That's a trip. That's wonderful. I was thinking North Carolina could use that.
We're talking about infrastructure when it comes to our neighborhoods, rebuilding our communities. It's much needed funds that the city definitely can use and use towards a good cause.
One study estimates North Carolina will lose out on $259 million a year to Virginia's new casinos near the border. State lawmakers have discussed the idea of allowing commercial casinos, but no bills have been put forward to consider so far this year.
North Carolina's House Speaker is facing an alienation of affection lawsuit. What exactly is that, and how often are they successful? An expert joins us live to take a closer look coming up. Plus, we'll show you how people across our area celebrated Juneteenth today. And as we head to break, taking a live look outside on this soggy evening. We'll see more of the same the rest of the week. Meteorologist Mike Mays will break it all down for you next. A deceptive lingerie membership collected hundreds of dollars from people, and now the company will have to pay that money back. Adore Me mostly sells lingerie online. It had a VIP membership program, and the North Carolina Attorney General's office says it was hard for customers to cancel. Customers were charged up to $40 a month unless they bought something or paused their account. The AG's office says they've settled with Adore Me. More than 25,000 people in the state will share up to $700,000 in refunds. Five on Your Side read through the settlement and found customers should get an email about how to make a claim in the next few weeks. A bill increasing punishments for power grid attacks is now law in North Carolina. Governor Roy Cooper signed the bill this afternoon. It imposes a penalty of nearly 5 years in prison for anyone who attacks the power grid. This is in direct response to shootings that targeted two power substations in Moore County last year. They caused days-long blackouts. Police have not named any suspects. A $75,000 reward is still being offered for information leading to an arrest. North Carolina Central University hosted an event today titled Honoring Juneteenth in Our Courts. Two state Supreme Court justices and a retired Superior Court judge spoke about the importance of the holiday and racial equity in the court system particularly. Former Judge Gregory Weeks told the crowd that Juneteenth reminds us to look back and look ahead.
Ida B. Wells said it best. Unless we are willing, and I'm paraphrasing, unless we are willing to confront the truth of our past, we will never be able to make progress in our future.
The event also featured local musicians, poets, and a theater production. Panelists said they're grateful Juneteenth has been recognized as a federal holiday, and they're hopeful the state will soon follow suit.
A lawsuit filed against North Carolina House Speaker Tim Moore accuses him of using his position of power to engage in an affair with another state government employee. Former Apex Town Council member Scott Lassiter filed what they call an alienation of affection lawsuit. It claims Moore was having a multi-year affair with his wife. Both she and Moore deny these allegations. North Carolina, though, one of only a few states in the country that even allows this sort of thing, a husband or wife, to sue a person who had an affair with their spouse. We want to bring in Charles Ullman, a local family law and divorce attorney, joins us now live to walk us through a little bit of this from a legal perspective. First, can you just explain how rare this is? How many other states even allow this type of thing?
Very few, actually. There are about six states that allow alienation of affection cases at this time.
How often? I mean, okay, just because they allow them doesn't mean this is a common thing. I mean, I can't say I remember hearing of this before. How often are lawsuits like these filed each year in, let's say, a place like North Carolina?
You might would have probably in the neighborhood of 500-600 cases would be my estimation for that. It'd be very difficult to track because until recently you could only go to the courthouses to see how many would be filed. But that would be my estimate.
Well, you'd think somebody. You would think if somebody is upset if there was a adultery or a alleged adultery in a marriage that somebody would take this step. Are they often successful when they are put in front of a judge?
They are. They are successful in the sense that you look into it and make sure that you have a valid claim that the client wants to pursue. So yes, they are successful, and we take a look at all the things that are necessary for the elements to be met in front of a judge or a jury and go through that with the clients from the first time they come into our office.
Typically, what makes a case strong? What types of evidence, you know, empowers their claim a bit? Is it texts, pictures, that sort of thing? What is used in a case like this?
We certainly use text, emails, cell phones are full of evidence all the time, but we want to look for something where there is a genuine affection between the couple, where it's a long-term involvement typically adds to the dollar value into the claim. So it's not something just at the end of the relationship, but something that's gone on for years, and something that's been multiple acts between the parties, and something that would be the spouse that's involved in it and the paramour, the third party, the person who's getting sued. So that would be the two people that are involved, and there aren't other issues about that person having an affair with, you know, yet another person or two or three other people beyond the person that you're suing. Mm.
Okay, very interesting. You learn something every day. Thank you. Appreciate your time. Thanks for doing the interview with us tonight. And for anyone at home, we have posted the full lawsuit, if you're interested, of this story on WRAL.com.
Boy, oh boy, meteorologist Mike Mays, you have been busy today. Here's a live look in Durham at the DBAP. It looks like storms may have passed through here by now as I see a little bit of the sun coming through.
Yeah, it's trying to break out. The first round of rain has moved on by, broken up, dissipated. Rain has scooted up into Virginia. Although over Warren County, there's some showers that are trying to come back to life. Southern counties, Bladen County, seeing some rain, and you can't help notice this off to the west. We're still a tornado warning in effect till 7:45 for parts of Iredell County. It looks like just near Kannapolis. It's moving slowly to the east at about 15 miles per hour. This region still in a level one risk for severe weather, and we'll watch this as we go through the evening to see how quickly it makes its way in. Join me tonight at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. We'll look at this. We'll also look at new model runs to talk about rainfall potential for tomorrow. And you can see up across southern Virginia, Halifax, Mecklenburg County, seeing some rain move through, and what's here in Warren County may make its way up to South Hill. So if you guys need some rain up there, watch out for it over the next hour. Apex, the roads are still a little damp. The clouds are still hanging with us. It cooled down big time today after our 90 out at RDU. We're down to 72, 74 in Fayetteville after 90 today. We will not be in the 90s tomorrow. I anticipate an overcast for the day on Tuesday with a good chance for showers and storms, some coming in the morning, more later in the afternoon. And last week, Kat and I were talking about low pressure being cut off to the west. What we call a cutoff low, it gets cut off from the main jet stream, so it kind of just sits and spins for a while. This is quite unusual for the month of June. We don't tend to see cutoff lows in the summertime. This one's just going to generate a lot of rain in the coming days. Could be multiple inches of rain over the next 7 days. And each day through Wednesday, we do have that potential for flooding because of the potential for heavy rainfall. We start tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. We wake up to an overcast. There will be some showers around, maybe an isolated thunderstorm. Elizabeth will be here tomorrow morning tracking all the activity. So you have a good shot at rain in the morning. So make sure you step out with your rain gear. And then through the day, we see showers and perhaps some thunderstorms as another wave comes on in, and this wave itself will contain some heavy rainfall that could prompt some localized flooding, maybe some flood advisories for the day tomorrow. And then by Wednesday, with the ground being more wet, there could be some flood warnings, flash flood warnings. We'll be on the lookout for that again, especially for the day Wednesday. So those showers and storms early have faded away. We'll look for just a chance for shower or storm overnight. Those will be in the 60s to about 70. The morning commute, especially on the west side of the viewing area, should be rather wet. 80% chance of rain at 8, 9, 10 a.m. Temperatures running in the 70s. Make sure, again, you have that rain gear and keep it with you throughout the day tomorrow. Showers and storms likely early in the day, and then later on during the afternoon and evening commute, they're still around. 79 for us here in Raleigh tomorrow, 80 in Fayetteville. For the summer solstice on Wednesday, temperature around 76. That's quite unusual. Our normal high is 88. We're far from that for the day on Wednesday. 80 on Thursday. We head into the weekend getting back to normal. Rain chances drop off, but still could see some showers and storms. And this is much needed rain. Things are really starting to dry up out there.
It is much needed. did rain. Mike, question for you. For those of us with rain-averse dogs, what do you suggest? Get out there tomorrow morning before 9 a.m.?
I would say look at the radar on the WRL weather app to see if there's any in your neighborhood. Can't guarantee that anything will be dry at that point.
All right, thanks.
Big umbrella.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so I do want to mention we are following some breaking news, weather-related, some weather damage in Durham. I want to get things out to Eric. Eric, what do you see?
Well, Dan, we've got reports of trees down all around Durham this afternoon, including, look at this right here, a tree crushing a bus stop. We'll have more details on all this coming up. I'm Eric Miller in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. We're continuing to follow storm damage this afternoon, this time in Durham. You can see this, an enormous oak tree came down right outside Brogdon Middle School. Just look at the size of that trunk and landed right here on top of a Durham bus stop, absolutely crushing it. We haven't heard of any injuries this afternoon, but still a bit of an issue for commuters who are coming and going. We've received multiple reports, trees down all around the city. We're tracking those down right now. Have much more coming up for you on this evening's news tonight, 10 and 11 o'clock.
Yeah, this is a path of the storm took. Mike Mays kept us up to date on that as it moved through. Hope nobody was hurt. A rare white squirrel was spotted in the Triangle area.
A resident captured this photo. The critters are most often found in different parts of North Carolina, making this a special treat, as the last time one was reported being seen in the Triangle was 2016. Experts say you know it's a white squirrel and not albino by its dark eyes and its gray patch on its head.
I'm thinking one of the reasons they're so rare is because kind of hard to hide when you're that color white, you know?
Yeah.
And all those hawks up there looking around for you.
It's quite cute.
Well, good luck out there, buddy. Thank you for making WRAL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.